When you get a Bible, make sure you open to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. That's where we're going to be this morning. And I'm aware that we're still in the midst of summer, so we have vacations and all kinds of things going on. So just to continually frame this sermon series that we're in, we're about halfway through our sermon series in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, at the beginning of which is called the Beatitudes. That's where we've been spending our time, taking one Beatitude at a time each week through. And the beauty of the Beatitudes is that Jesus is telling his disciples then, and he's telling us now as followers of Christ, that there's blessing in living out the realities of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, now, as they will be later, but there is blessing in living that out now. We are saved in order to live out kingdom realities now that will be perfected later. So in this life, we can live out to some extent these kingdom realities, and there is blessing in that. In a broken world, we can live those things now, but also that we can look forward to the blessing of those things being consummated or completed in the future. In talking through today's Beatitude, we're going to learn a lot about mercy. And mercy is one of those things that it's easy to want for ourselves. We want mercy. When we hurt someone, we do something to hurt others, we want to receive mercy. But when the shoe is on the other foot, when the tables are turned and it's us who has to extend mercy or kindness, that's difficult. It's difficult for us to do. I want us to feel that a little bit, and with a scenario that has actually a real scenario that's come up in my mind, and maybe this is a time to just share this fear. But if you think about driving, for those of you who are local here in town, if you're driving from Hannaford towards the center of town on 119, you come down, you go past Gary's 2, you're rounding the corner, and what comes after that but the crosswalk for the employees of Sterilite coming across that crosswalk. And the fear has occurred to me, and this is where it gets tricky for us, that anything can happen at that. Many things have happened at that little spot. But what if you were driving that one day and you look and nobody's there in that crosswalk, you're coming through, and suddenly someone late for work comes scurrying across, and without time to brake, you actually hit them? And what if they passed away from their injuries? That is an extreme example of how badly would we want to receive mercy for unintentionally doing that. We would plead with their family for mercy, for forgiveness, for kindness. But for the family, that would be difficult. That would be a profound challenge in order to show mercy to us in that situation. And that's just to show us that, and to feel that a little bit. That's why that's a little bit of an extreme example, to feel that it's easy to want mercy. We know what that feels like. It feels very natural to desire mercy. Feels very difficult to extend mercy. Whether it's in somebody's suffering, like we talked about there, in loss, but even in meeting mercy, having mercy on people that are in need. Maybe, what does it look like to have a godly response to the suffering of others? Maybe physical needs, maybe emotional needs, maybe spiritual needs. What does it look like to have godly mercy on people in need? I want to get to the passage this morning and allow Jesus to teach us about mercy. We're going to be in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and I think it's been helpful to just start right at verse 1 and read through verse 7, which is our Beatitude for today, verse 7. So look on with me as I read Matthew chapter 5, 1 through 7. Seeing the crowds, he, Jesus, went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And for this morning, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. These are Jesus' words meant for us this morning to grow in godly mercy. We said it before that these beatitudes, these lists of things where God blesses us, they are not a way that God is saying, you do this and I will give you these things, though they result in blessings. He's not saying you earn your way to the blessings, but you're changed by the power of the gospel and therefore live as gospel people. Gospel people will live in these ways. And there is blessing in living these ways now. We've called that blessing, can be translated as flourishing. And if people that are flourishing, you're working the way you're designed to work and function and flourishing in life. These beatitudes are the way to the flourishing life now and for all eternity. This one, though, seems to fly in the face on first read through that. It seems as if Jesus is saying that. What he's saying is those who are merciful towards others will receive mercy from God. So that begs the question, does God really owe us mercy if we show others mercy? Is that how that works? We're going to iron that out as we go through the passage this morning. One of the things when we're trying to discern a biblical passage, especially true for Jesus' words, so we should always be on the lookout for other places in the Bible where it talks about the same things, whether parallel passages or just passages that explain your passage a little more. The best rule of thumb is in interpreting the Bible, let the Bible interpret itself. And that's true for this beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Jesus talks about mercy quite a bit. And I want us to turn to actually Luke's gospel for this exact reason. So we're going to turn to Luke chapter 10. So Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 10. We're going to be in verse 30 there. And here, we're going to take this abstract idea of mercy. What is mercy? And Jesus is going to give us a taste of what that would look like in a real life scenario, at least for their time. We could think of similar ones in our time. When you get there, you'll notice Luke chapter 10, verse 30 starts the chapter or parable on the Good Samaritan. And even if you're not familiar with the parable itself, that's where the phrase a good Samaritan comes from, right? In our minds, we already know it's this person that helps someone, often someone, a stranger perhaps, and they help someone just out of the kindness of their heart. They do something for others. One example I saw this week, it was a kind of comical example. We have a friend that I saw posted on Facebook that they hired a young man to mow her lawn, which he did a great job. She was super happy with. And they both noticed there was a raccoon trapped in her dumpster in the back of her house. And so the boy didn't need to do anything. He could have just gone home after mowing the lawn, probably sweaty, tired, hungry, all those things. But he decided to try to troubleshoot this. And so he stuck a ladder into the disposal there, into the dumpster, so that the raccoon could hopefully climb out and not be a nuisance to this woman. A kind of a comical example of just he was being technically a good Samaritan. He didn't have to. She didn't hire him to do that. Just saw a problem and he solved it. Saw a need. She didn't like the raccoon there, didn't want any part of it. He was helping her out. And so that phrase is close, or that meaning, Good Samaritan, is close to the meaning of this parable, which is at its core is an example of how to love our neighbors. That's how you normally hear this preached and talked about. That's the core of this parable, how to love your neighbor. This is an example of how to do that. For today, we're going to focus particularly on the action that expresses that love, which is mercy. We'll see as we read that at its core, the love is expressed to this person by the Good Samaritan as an act of mercy, but that will help us understand what mercy is, why it's so challenging to us, and how we can show mercy to others. And if you think about it, looking back, we did the book of Galatians just a couple sermon series ago, and we learned in Galatians that the whole law is fulfilled in loving your neighbor. We said that was because that means you got it. You understand God's love for you, and that is expressed in love for others. Likewise, it will do a little bit of that for us in terms of mercy. Follow along as I read that parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, verses 30 to 37. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Then Jesus asks, 'Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?' He answered, 'The one who showed him mercy.' And Jesus said to him, 'You, go and do likewise.'" Again, this unpacks what Jesus is talking about in this beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And I want to show it to us in what I'll call the 3 C's of mercy. We'll have them up on the front screens here. 3 C's of mercy are this: mercy is a choice, mercy is a challenge, mercy is a certainty. Mercy is a choice, challenge, and a certainty. First of all, the parable of the Good Samaritan demonstrates to us that to be merciful is not simply a heart posture, though that might be part of it. It's not just an attitude of mercy, but it's an action. It's an outward display of kindness, of goodness, of help. And so in that way, in vain, it's a choice that we make to extend tangible, practical mercy. That's why we're starting here with mercy as a choice. The first step towards showing godly mercy in this parable, the Good Samaritan, is making the choice to have compassion. To have compassion on someone. To some degree, putting ourselves in the shoes or circumstances of another and desiring what we would want someone else to do for us. Right? Do what you would want someone to do for you. We read in the Good Samaritan, this man had compassion on the man that was beaten. He felt that he knew what he would feel like if he was stripped and beaten and left for dead. How miserable, how just horrible that situation would be. And instead of turning from him like the others, he turns towards him, saw the man as a fellow sinner, just hurt by the sin of others. And he had compassion on him. He knew he could feel that himself. What would I want someone to do? And it begs the question right up front for us, can we put ourselves in our neighbor's shoes for a moment? Do we do that? Do we do that in a way that it wells up compassion for them? That we could see ourselves in that and think, you know what I would really love for someone to do for me in that situation? Or do we just go about our way, not have pity on them? Maybe we think about it and we say, well, they got themselves in that situation. Maybe we see it as their own sin. Or maybe that we think to ourselves, well, they should be able to get out of it themselves. They got themselves into it. They should be able to get themselves out of it. Mercy is the opposite. It's having compassion on someone. But out of that compassion, we see in this parable displayed a costly kindness. So compassion that leads to a costly kindness. Every mercy the man shows costs him something in this parable. If you look down, scan down where he comes in to help, he pours out oil and wine on the wounds of this man that he found. That we assume that he paid for that himself, would have probably liked to enjoy those things for himself. He himself walks while the injured man rides on his horse or donkey. He didn't stop there, but he stays the night and takes care of this guy. On top of that, in the morning, he gives the innkeeper 2 denarii, 2 days' worth of wages. And he says, anything else, any other bills this guy racks up as you take care of him, put it to my account. I will take care of it. I'll take care of it for him. Something that's not said, but also important to notice, is that there is no mention of this Good Samaritan demanding anything in return. We don't see him asking, and then once you get back on your feet, just repay me for all these things. He says, this is what I would want done. This is the mercy I want to show. There's no strings attached. I have compassion and this costly kindness. It's a huge lesson for us that merciful, godly kindness will always cost us something. It's not free to those who extend it to others. Because merciful kindness it's cross-shaped. That it cost Jesus everything in order to bring God's mercy to bear on sinners like us. The most costly, his perfect life. But then at following the costly kindness, we can also notice that we need to, in choosing to have compassion, that compassion often cancels the effects of sin. So compassion leading to costly kindness that shows itself in canceling the effects of sin, whether it's sin of the person or sin of receiving sin from others. Author, theologian Sinclair Ferguson said it well when he says, mercy relieves the consequences of sin in the lives of others, both sinners and those sinned against. Later, he follows up and says, mercy is getting down on your hands and knees, doing what you can do to restore dignity to someone whose life has been broken by sin, whether his own or that of someone else. In this case, the sin was done to the man. He was robbed, beaten, but this man, the Good Samaritan, comes in and gives him dignity, worth. He sees him as a person. He cancels the effects or reverses the effects of sin in this guy's life, binding up the wounds, showing him that there are people that care, showing him kindness to restore, give life to his soul in his despair. And I know, we are all called and capable of showing that kind of kindness to others. We're all capable and we are all called to show that kind of mercy, kindness, goodness to others. That when we care for someone who is ill or help someone that's disabled, give to the needy, it's righting the wrongs of sin. Those people often don't choose to be in those situations. And even if they did, that's an effect of sin in their life. Maybe their own sin, but it still requires mercy from us. All those elements, compassion, costly kindness, canceling the effects of sin, that should sound very familiar to us. The parable is about someone that acts like Jesus towards their neighbor. Jesus, you could say, is the ultimate Good Samaritan on a whole entirely different level. compassion. Jesus shows compassion on sinners like us. He doesn't run from us, but draws near to us and has mercy on us. We're told just as he had compassion on the crowds as sheep without a shepherd, that's how he feels about us when we're lost and straying from him. He has compassion on us. Costly kindness, we mentioned already. He showed the costliest kindness in giving the perfect life on the cross for our sins. And in doing so, cancels the effects of our sin, our own sin. Cancels the effect of sin by showing God's mercy and forgiving our sins, taking away the effects of sin on our hearts and our minds. They're removed. All that being said, though, why doesn't mercy flow more naturally from us? If all that is true, we know our Savior showed us mercy. We know we're meant to show mercy like he did. Why doesn't it just come from us? Why is there not mercy, more mercy in our lives flowing from us? It's partially what we talked about with that initial illustration, that mercy is a challenge to our sinful, selfish hearts. That sin that still remains makes it a challenge to show mercy. And this parable cuts deep enough to kind of expose that the real heart reasons behind why mercy is such a challenge. I'll give you a few of those that I see in this passage. First, the challenge is our own biases. Our biases. We may try to be unbiased as much as possible, but we all have biases against people. We are prone to generally draw near to those we have things in common with. And we kind of come away from those we're not sure about. They're different. They're not like us. That's a natural human tendency to do that. This parable that Jesus tells us in this Good Samaritan, this story would have been, in the eyes of the Jewish people that are listening, this would have been a completely scandalous story on the case of bias alone. For those listening, but especially for the religious leaders of the time. When Jesus dictates this parable, it's obvious that the priest and the Levite are both Jewish. And we would assume implied is the man robbed and beaten is also a Jewish man. And the fact that the Samaritan, and maybe you've heard this before, but the Samaritan who is the hero of the story would have infuriated the Jewish people hearing this. The Jewish people and the Samaritans had years of fighting, whether on social, ethnic, theological differences. They did not like one another. This Samaritan guy should have, by all intents and purposes, looked on the Jewish man and maybe even thanked God for getting rid of one of them. That's how bad that animosity was. So a Jewish person was the last person he would have helped. And it would have been the last person that these Jewish listeners would have thought would have been the hero of the story. Brings up another challenge to us showing mercy, which is blindness. Blindness. Unintentionally or intentionally, if we're not careful, we can become blind to the pain and needs around us. Just don't see them. So we could refuse to do anything about it, just pretend that it doesn't exist. Or sometimes we can be so oblivious, so within ourselves, that we don't even see it. It's not even intentional. We don't see it, the people's hurt around us. So more likely, this is what's happening here, that the Levite and the priest have chosen to go around this person, turn a blind eye to his situation. Third challenge for us is very, very applicable in our modern day society, and that's busyness. Busyness is a challenge to us showing mercy. The priest and Levite might have felt they were too busy. They're going along their way. They're preparing for worship, whatever it was. They don't have time to help this guy out. If they spent all this time like the Samaritan, it would have taken them 2 days, couple days worth of wages would block them from doing whatever was on their agenda. That's a real challenge to us in our modern society. We're busy. It's where we're at. It's the society we live in. But we need to guard that. That God is going to call us in some situations to get out of our agenda. We're going to miss some things on the to-do list in order to help someone in need. Truthfully, the biggest reason, though, that mercy is a challenge to us, I think it's because we don't feel our own need for God's mercy deep enough. We know we receive God's mercy and His forgiveness, but once we've walked with the Lord for a while, we stop feeling that as acutely. I'm getting better. I'm growing. At least I'm not the guy or girl I used to be, and I'm changing, and all of that is good, but we need to know. We need God's mercy every moment of every day. We don't stop depending on God because He's improving us, spiritually speaking. But do we feel that? Do you wake up in the morning and realize, I need the mercy of God today? If I'm going to be anywhere near fruitful for the kingdom, I need God's mercy. If I'm going to show mercy to others, I need to experience God's mercy, His kindness, His goodness, His help in my need. Think back to the opening illustration, the scenario on 119 in front of Sterilite. Feel your need that acutely. If you remember how you felt when I was telling that story, that just deep desire, it hurts to not have that mercy. That's what we're meant to feel for God's mercy. We need it. We need it to live, to grow, to function. And God is delighted in showing us mercy. So if we're not showing mercy to others, then should we expect mercy from God? That's what the parable questions here. Just proves that we haven't understood yet our own need for God's mercy. The final thing we see here in this parable ties directly back to our beatitude, which is mercy is a certainty. Mercy is a certainty. That is, mercy is certainly what God will show the merciful. You can be certain of that. First of all, it is the very character of God. That is who God is. He's a merciful God. More than a couple times we are reminded in Scripture, God is gracious and merciful. He's good. He's kind. He has compassion on us. That His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. We sang that in one of our songs this morning. Because God is, we are always in need. And God always has mercies for our needs. If we would only feel our need and to go to Him, plead for those mercies. The book of Hebrews encourages us to do that with confidence. Draw near to God's throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Therein lies the point. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Because if you're showing compassion to others, in this way, in the form of costly kindness, in a way that cancels the effects of sin on others, it's evidence that you are being changed and blessed by God's mercy. In receiving His loving kindness in your own life, and you're imitating your Father and your Savior. It's evidence that that is at work in you. It's nonetheless challenging, but God's mercy removes those challenges. Why don't we try to earn God's mercy by being merciful? But it's God's mercy that melts away all those excuses, those challenges, why we don't show mercy. Melts away the influence of our biases, whatever they are. Gives sight to our blindness to the needs of others around us. And it challenges us to live out God's agenda, God's will, rather than just being stuck in our busyness. Do you want to continue to receive the mercy of God? I think for myself, of course, I want the mercy of God. And I know I can't earn it. God's mercy is absolutely certain for all who have received God's mercy. That doesn't change his half. He is a merciful God that delights in showing mercy. The way we show that we've understood that and received it and it's working in our hearts is that we show mercy, and that just continues that cycle of mercy. So here's the thing. Before we close, let me ask us, how are we doing showing mercy to those around us? I asked myself that question this week. How are we doing showing mercy to those around us? You could think about specifics. How are we doing showing our spouse mercy? How are we doing showing our kids mercy? Our neighbors? Let alone like this parable, the last person we would want to extend mercy. How are we doing in showing people mercy? And if the answer is, well, honestly, not too good. Two diagnostic questions for us to ask. One, have you received the forgiveness, the merciful forgiveness of Jesus? And if you have, number two is, are you still feeling your need for God's kindness in his mercy? Do you still feel your need for that on a daily basis? That's how we overcome the challenges with showing others mercy. Jesus asked us, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? Of course, we would say the same thing, the one who showed him mercy. So Jesus says the same thing to us. You go and do likewise. That's for us. Go and do likewise, for blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let's pray. Father, how great is your mercy for us? How undeserved are we for your mercy? Lord, we just know our need for you. I pray that we know our need even more this morning. Lord, that we would know our need for your mercy, that we would be dependent on your mercy, for you to show kindness to us, goodness, graciousness, compassion to us who are still broken sinners in need of mercy. May we feel that and receive it, your satisfying mercy for our souls, that it might be reflected in our daily lives towards others. That's our prayer this morning. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.